Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sermon today is based on the gospel text, Jesus casting out a demon from a mute man, receiving criticism for it. But I especially want to focus on this passage, which seems obscure, but I think given the church and what we know about the church as Christ ended up establishing it here on earth, becomes quite clear. After he says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters," Jesus says, "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest. And finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits, more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." So far our text. This week continues the theme of spiritual warfare, which is central to Lent. Often we think of Jesus Christ suffering and dying on the cross as being central to Lent. That's certainly its culmination on Good Friday, and where things are pointing on Palm Sunday. But the rest of Lent is really about spiritual warfare, and I believe it's something that in our modern context we can so easily forget about. We began two Sundays ago with Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness. Last week, Jesus cast out a demon from the daughter of a Canaanite woman who asked him to do so in great faith. This week, Jesus casts out a demon from a mute man so that he could speak. Jesus came to cast out demons. He came as a warrior to wage spiritual warfare by the Holy Spirit, given to him in baptism to do so. After all, immediately after his baptism, it says in the Gospel of Mark, he was driven out into the wilderness to be tempted. Christ's weapon and ours is the sword of the Spirit. So we are also given the Holy Spirit in baptism. This is not only to forgive our sins. This is not only to give us saving faith. We are given the Holy Spirit for battle. We are called the church militant, the church at war. And any overtones with reference to the Crusades are purely incidental, for we do not fight flesh and blood, but the spirits of evil. We are called the church militant. Now, the church triumphant are those who have died in Christ and are now residing in heaven with him in eternal security. They have won their race. They have kept the faith. But we who are still on earth are not triumphant. Certainly not in that sense anyway. We are even given a warning by St. Paul. "He who thinks he stand, take heed, lest he fall." It's only a pig-headed athlete who boasts of victory before the game is over. And many generals have gone into battle underestimating the enemy and overestimating themselves. And their pride ruins them, leads them to their last stand. So too, Jesus tells his disciples to count the costs of their discipleship. Now, don't misunderstand. Christ has won the victory. And by faith, I am his and he is mine. You and I can celebrate his victory over sin, death, and the devil. As the church militant, the church at war, it's not as though it is uncertain how this war will end. But what does remain, in some sense or another, uncertain is whose side you will be fighting for when that war ends. So, Jesus casts out demons, and he's accused of doing so by the power of Beelzebul. literally meaning Lord of the Flies, but specifically Satan. Jesus says that is absurd. An army that fights against itself will lose. There are only two armies, those led by the Holy Spirit and those that are not. And then he tells this little parable about an unclean spirit. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. What does this mean? When you are baptized, the evil spirit that dwells in you is bound up and driven away. The Holy Spirit comes in, plunders your soul for God, and sets your house in order. But the unclean spirit is not content to pass through waterless places, unbaptized people already lost. So it returns to the baptized person, only to find that the Holy Spirit is no longer there. So it returns with an army of evil spirits, and that person is worse off than before they were baptized. Baptism gives you the Holy Spirit, but it does not chain him to you. Baptism saves, but you can fall away again. Baptism is when God steals you back from the devil, sets your house in order so that the Holy Spirit can and does take residence there. But the scriptures are clear. The Holy Spirit will not keep residence in a place that does not hear and keep the word of God. If you are baptized but do not remain in God's word by hearing it often and treasuring it, the Holy Spirit will leave such a person. The unclean spirit will make that person worse off than before baptism. St. Peter writes in his second epistle, "For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandments delivered to them." 2 Peter 2:21. Dear friends in Christ, there is a spiritual war, and we are jars of clay, empty vessels that are subject to the influence of spirits. There is no neutrality. There is no Switzerland in this world war. Neutrality, in fact, belongs to the devil. Either you have the Holy Spirit and are of God and remain in him, or if you, through despising the word and choosing to be your own God, drive out the Holy Spirit, another spirit will find you, and you will be under its influence, perhaps many. This passage ends in what seems to be a disconnected passage, but it's really not. And it's very appropriate the way our lectionary ends with this. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed." But Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." What does this mean? You're not blessed by having been raised by a good Christian mother. You are not blessed by having been raised by good Lutheran stock. That means nothing if you're not taught to remain in the Word of God. There are people who went to church every week, baptized their children there, continued to take them to church until their children move out of the house and never come to church again, except to please their parents on Christmas and Easter. Friends, they're not blessed for having been raised in the church. They were not raised in the church if they were not taught to hear the word of God and keep it. We don't get the Holy Spirit by osmosis in a place. We are taught to hear the word of God and to keep it in the home, in the public sphere, in our hearts. The guarantee of the Holy Spirit only comes through immersion, not in water, but in the word of God. Simply punching the time clock at church once a week or once a year is not engaging in spiritual warfare. The church is not there for people to attend. It's for Christians to use. To use to equip for battle. Hear the word of God and keep it, as Jesus says, and the Holy Spirit will remain in you, regardless of what womb you came from, regardless of whose mother's breasts you nursed. So, the reality that's so easy to lose is that there are spiritual forces of evil at work. Obvious to anyone who wonders why they feel the way they do sometimes. There is a spiritual battle going on. And only one side gathers. It's the other who scatters. But the Holy Spirit is the one who makes you hate evil and makes you love the good and to know the difference, even if you can't keep it. We don't wrestle against our bosses or our spouses or our neighbors. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against demons. And the Holy Spirit is no slouch. He is the sword of God who equips us for battle against all forces. We do not neglect the word of God by which he comes, but hold it sacred. God loves us so much that he gave us his word. Let us gladly hear and learn it and use it for battle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.